This is the Business Storytelling Show, a top global marketing podcast listened to in more than 100 countries, live streamed on social media, and broadcast on DBTV. Christoph Trapp chats with industry leaders to help your company tell better business stories. Here's today's episode.
Hey, business storytellers. How's everyone doing? Episode 656, I believe, of the Business Storytelling Show. Today, we want to talk about guest blogging. And I have some mixed feelings about guest blogging. I've seen people who just rocked it and it helped and it worked. And then I've seen people and it didn't work. Sometimes it depends on the goal. Sometimes it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. Some websites don't even link to you. Why would I write anything for them? I want that link, my friends, not to my Twitter account that I don't use, not to my LinkedIn, which I do use, to my website. I'm an SEO guy. But anyway, let's find out, how do you do guest blogging correctly? What should the goals be? And you know, what even qualifies as guest blogging? Jake Dahl, he is VP of PR at Blast Media. Check them out, and he's joining me today to talk about the topic and, you know, give us some ideas on how to rock guest blogging. Jake, welcome.
Christoph, I've been looking forward to this all week. Thanks for having me.
Me too, all week. Really appreciate you coming on the show. So let's get us started here and talk about, number one, what really is guest blogging? I mean, is it organic? Is it paid? Is it a, you know, sign up and pay a gazillion dollars to be on one of those councils, or what is it?
You know, I was going to say all the above until you got to the gazillion dollars point. But there definitely is some truth to it. It could be all of it. Just for sake of terminology and speaking the same language, at Blast Media, we talk about thought leadership, which is a opportunity to share your perspective, your expertise, through the form of contributed content or interviews. And we talk about contributed content. Of course, like, we can use the term blog literally. Like, Blast Media has a blog. We could take contributors here. Your business partners, your customers probably have a blog. You could contribute your perspective there as well. But also, there are trade publications. There's tier one publications. These are kind of the household names that you're familiar with. New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, that would take content and expertise from thought leaders or experts on really any topic or a variety. Yes, of course, there's those council profiles as well. Forbes, Newsweek, Fast Company, Entrepreneur, they all have them. They do cost money, but it is editorial. There is someone that reviews your content that will help you get published as well. So yes, all of the above, with the caveat that it may or may not be a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, probably not a gazillion dollars, but I'm a fan of overstating things here just to get people going and riled up. And you know what's interesting to me too is, I mean, this is an editorial show today. It's not sponsored by Blast Media. I reached out to you after I was doing some research on the topic. But even when I have sponsored guests on the show, I still challenge them, right? I still ask them questions. Just because it's a sponsored show doesn't mean that all the rules of a good interview go out the window. Do you know what I mean? I might not challenge them as much as I might challenge others, but I still ask them questions that I think people want to hear, because what's the point otherwise? So I do agree with that when people do it correctly. But talk about high level. Why should companies even invest in this? Where does it fall in the pegging order of things you should be doing? Because, I mean, guess what? There's so many strategies we can work on. I mean, who has the time, right?
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, I work at a PR agency, so I'm going to talk about the value that content or thought leadership can bring from a business perspective. And how we think about it at Blast is, there is high impact coverage or articles placed, and there's foundational coverage or articles placed. That foundational piece is likely when a company issues press releases, or they secure a mention, maybe in a roundup of competitor news. But the high impact coverage is something that readers have a key takeaway. Maybe they know how to do their job better. Maybe they walk away feeling like they've learned something. And that's probably from a podcast interview like this. Hopefully this is valuable. Hopefully people take something away from this. It could be a piece of contributed content. It could be you are being interviewed and you're able to talk about like a customer story. And maybe this is a little bit more of like a feature rather than that foundational piece where it's just like a mentions or press release. And a successful PR program is not one of these things without the other. A successful PR program includes all of these. It is the interviews. It is contributed content. It is those announcements that most companies do issue on a consistent basis. So if you're a company that makes a lot of news, of course you may be able to stand out from your competition or just kind of cut through the noise from that news. Maybe there's something valuable about the product, or you've got new data or an executive hire that's going to be really impressive. But that's only one piece. And to have a takeaway, let's talk about like generative AI is really hype in media right now. If you have a perspective that you think is valuable and bold and unique, you absolutely should be able to share that. And you can do it on your own, of course, like LinkedIn, you can share an article, you can put it on your own blog, but you are kind of working with your own audience and being able to tap into the audiences of other companies through their blogging up channels, or tier one trade media is a great way to kind of elevate yourself and reach an entirely new audience. So yes, it's important. It is one piece of a fun PR puzzle.
You know, what's interesting to me is, and I am not necessarily in PR as much as you guys, even though I try to like dip into it here and there, but whether it's content strategy or content marketing or email marketing or whatever, right? Like, it's always the same answer. Like, there is multiple pieces. You can't just do one or the other and expect to get all the results, right? So people have to kind of keep that in mind. And it's, I think for some of us older people like me, that's sometimes hard to remember, because back in the day, there was one thing, you know, and I was just, and I don't even remember her name now, but, and this is not even business related, but you know, that LSU basketball, women's basketball coach, Washington Post apparently is writing an article about her, and they called some players and offered anonymity according to the coach. Mm-hmm. And the coach literally had a press conference and said, here's what I know, here's what was said, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking 15 years ago when I was in journalism, that wouldn't have happened. But why wouldn't it have happened? Because there was only one channel, right? Or maybe two, and they wouldn't pick on each other. So super, super interesting on how that works. Talk to me a little bit about your stretching the definition of guest blogging just a little bit. How do you determine like who to pitch to? How do you pitch to them? Like when you say tier one, I'm like, I don't even know that I'm going to waste any time pitching to the New York Times. I'm not sure it's worth my time, but maybe it is. I mean, you convince me.
Yeah. if you've got a bold perspective, I think aiming for the stars is always a valuable approach. But of course, like maybe New York Times is not going to be the first piece that you land, and that's okay. So finding relevant opportunities. Of course, like any business partner, any customers, any prospects, if you operate in the same space and they have a blog kind of page on their website, that is a great place to start, because you likely already have a relationship there. You would be able to work directly with someone. You could ask them if they have any type of content calendar that you might be able to participate in. And you could also swap. So you play something on their website, they play something on yours. That's a great way to build a relationship with these business partners, prospects, customers, what have you, and also a good reference point to point back to as you are then trying to go to trade media, because whether you are starting from kind of like a net new, I'm just reaching out for the first time, hi publication, we've never worked before, I have a article on artificial intelligence in the supply chain that I wanted to share. It is very likely that they're going to Google your name. They're going to look you up on LinkedIn. They're going to see if you've placed any content elsewhere. And having a byline on a company blog is a great place to start. They can get a little bit more sense of your expertise, your tone of voice, and see if they'd be willing to take you on for this trade opportunity. And these things really can build. And again, like this New York Times, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, all of these publications have op-eds that are obviously competitive. But if you do work your way up, and maybe that includes these paid council profiles like Forbes, Entrepreneur, Newsweek, the kind of a variety here, that is name recognition that you can use to your benefit. And of course, there is a paid component here, but there is also editorial review to help you write the best piece that you can and ensure that it's not just purely advertising, that it is thought leadership, it's providing value to your readers. And all of those are essentially stepping stones to get more consistent wins with the publication that makes the most sense for you, because either it's a cool publication that you always wanted to be in, or maybe a little bit more business focused, it's what your readers are also reading. Before I go on a tangent, I just want to say that not every one of your audience members or your prospects are going to be reading the same publications as you. So placing something on a trade publication is the first step, and then amplifying it to social media and making sure you do that more than once is always going to be my recommendation. I read the news pretty frequently. I really don't look to see what the publication is. I look to see the headline. Is the headline compelling? Is it relevant to me? I'm going to click on it and I'm going to learn something from there. So your audience may or may not be going to the same pubs as you. That's okay. You can lead them to it as long as you have a relevant, cool, bold perspective and you're sharing it for them on social media.
Yeah, I think the whole thing of remembering that people don't always do what you do is, I think it's really hard, especially for executives, right? Because they rose through the ranks, and they rose there because they have opinions, they have thoughts, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They have, you know, they're strong with their decision making. But you can just find out where are people that you're trying to reach and then how do you reach them? And the other thing, when you just mentioned that I was thinking of is I always share when I have a guest blog somewhere, or even if I'm quoted somewhere, right? I don't even care if people read it, but I share it because I'm trying to use basically the halo effect, right? This publication or content marketing world, right? I've been a judge for the awards for the last few years, and I always make a big deal about it. Do you know what I mean? And because it's the halo effect, right? I'm just showing people, look, they're partnering with me. I'm partnering with them. You know, yes, I know content marketing. So I think there is that value as well. Let's talk about the advertising piece a little bit. So you say you don't just want it to be advertising. And sometimes when I read articles, it's just total garbage. It's like, you know, and I participate in these, but the LinkedIn collaborative articles, every article is exactly the same, pretty much, right? It's like, know your audience, know this, know this. And I'm like, oh my God, you could have once in a while, you know, have different headlines. And I see a lot of articles like that too. How do you make sure people actually put a unique spin or halfway unique spin and their own stories when they're guest blogging?
Yeah. How do I make sure? You know, at Blast Media, we do our best to have story mining sessions with executives or thought leaders. We come prepared with questions that are relevant to our clients' industry, supply chain, pharma, high tech, things like that. In those story mining sessions, we do not ask questions about their product. We ask questions about the challenges and the opportunities that their prospects, their customers are facing today. We talk about regulation or legislation that could be happening in the US that is relevant to kind of the work that they're doing, to see if there's a bold and timely perspective to share. Now, from all of that, we work with our spokespeople to develop the best article that we can. Of course, there's going to be some push and pull of, well, this isn't something that we actually do at our company. And yes, we understand that aligning kind of the perspective and the business goal is important. But if it's going to be an ad, just how you talked about this, like it's worthless. And being able to publish something that has your product in it doesn't actually add any value for you. It doesn't actually add any value for your customers unless there is something else around it that they can actually take away and walk away from with a new approach or a new idea about how to do their job better or easier. And yeah, it's really easy to weave in marketing speak, corporate jargon or product information. But is that actually going to move the needle? Is someone going to be excited and pick up or send an email and say, yes, give me this demo right now? No, that's very unlikely. This isn't necessarily the question that you just asked me, but when you're talking about articles that all sound the same, that is, in my opinion, something that is one of the biggest challenges with like artificial intelligence and content generation today. I am not anti-AI. I think Claude, Gemini, ChatGPT are cool. It has created such a quantity rather than quality problem in content. And I think media are really sick of it. I'm really sick of it. I don't want to read something that doesn't actually have like a soul or heart behind it. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I think it might be easy to trick people into something like that, but that's not going to last as long as some content farms or people that just purely use AI for content will likely want it to. And of course, Google is a smart company. They will figure out if content is AI generated eventually. I don't think that's really possible right now. And I think they'll be disqualified for that, or they'll be hindered in search for something like that. And how you stand out is to say something that actually matters to your audience. How's that for a tangent?
That's a great tangent. I mean, so what's interesting about that too is I don't think people will get dinked for using AI, but I also think most people use AI incorrectly. I'll give you an example. I actually tested this, and I send out a thing to help a reporter out, right? I think that's what it was, to help a reporter out. I just said, what is your opinion on this topic? I don't remember what the topic was. I haven't even written about it because I got so many responses. Like, it's crazy. And I don't know how many. I don't know what the percentage is, but there's so many. They're the same answer. They're literally the same answer from ChatGPT. Why would I ever use that? Why? Like, why do people even waste their time and my time to send that to me? So I think that is the biggest waste of time to use chat, to use any AI to create content from scratch. But I think AI is a great tool if you have source content to get started. So for example, I'm going to actually throw this up here while I'm talking, if I can find it. After this episode, I will take this episode and I will put it on Opus. I will put it in Otter. So that's the first click up there. Yep. And I will transcribe it. And it will help me find the sound bites that I actually want. But the difference is you and I have already created the content, mostly you. I'm just asking questions and giving some opinions and throwing up some links. And then also I use Opus, right? So this episode will go right into Opus and it will automatically create sound bites of some of your best quotes. There's still some editing. There's still some I have to double check. Is this actually the context? Whatever. But at the end of the day, it is way quicker than it was 5 years ago. So 100% agreed. If people don't use AI correctly, it can really, 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 really hurt them. So you kind of stretch the definitions a little bit here, which I think is great. But when you talk to executives, do you say we should guest blog, or how do you frame it? What's different framing if you don't use guest blogging, if that makes sense?
Yeah, just in speaking the same language, we talk about thought leadership. I think that's maybe the umbrella here. And I've got a thumbs up. I agree with myself. And we would say contributed content. That's kind of our go-to phrase for when we are placing a long-form piece of content on any type of publication, whether it's an actual blog, whether it's to a supply chain publication or the Harvard Business Review, US Today's of the world. But contributed content is how we talk about taking that expertise, that vision, that bold perspective, and putting it elsewhere outside of an owned channel, like their own company blog, or maybe even like their own profile. They could have a Medium, they could use LinkedIn articles, for example. And all of those are great, and every one of those could be a box to be checked for any type of initiative. And some make sense more than others. But contributing content to a trade publication is really a pillar of what we do at Blast Media. That is where your most targeted audience is likely going to be, and you can amplify that even further on social media.
Potentially my last question here. I mean, first of all, give me a two thumbs up. Let's see if we can get the fireworks going. I mean, I got the same thing.
Love it.
I love that feature on, you can also do this. This is balloons, I think. Now we're totally getting off track. But did you get it? No,
I didn't get the balloons. I've never seen the fireworks before. I think that's awesome.
Just one hand.
There we go. Finally.
Yep. So that is the MacBook accessibility feature. That's how you get it. I have no idea how you turn it on, but okay. Now we just took 30 seconds from your next answer, and I actually forgot my question. I totally forgot my question here. You got me going on that. So I'm going to give you two thumbs down. Now we're just playing. How do you know who to pitch to? So when you say trade media, I've actually been a chief content officer in trade media before, and I know how that game works. I know what the numbers look like. How do you know a specific trade media is worth pitching to or not pitching to? Give me 60 seconds of that answer, and then I'll come back and we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, when I think about relevant publications, of course, like if you're a supply chain technology, last meeting we work in B2B SaaS, business-to-business software. So if you're a supply chain technology, there are many publications that have the word supply chain in them. One way to think about them is unique monthly visitors per month. How many readers actually go to the website? You can rank it from there. We use another metric, Moz's domain authority, which is a metric from 0 to 100 that kind of shows the propensity for a website to show up higher in search results. So those two metrics, domain authority, unique monthly visitors, are a great place to start. After, let's say, you place three of them in these various supply chain publications, going into Google Analytics, seeing which one, if any, was driving some type of traffic. This is, again, direct referral traffic. So if there is or is not a backlink, irrelevant. Did anyone go from supply chain dive to your website specifically? That's a great place to start. Maybe they had a newsletter as well. But I would say, like, what's the amount of visitors? Do they have a reputable domain authority? And did it drive anything? And maybe not all those are going to happen in your first round, but it's a good place to start.
It's just very interesting trying to figure out where to prioritize and then actually do it. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Last 45 seconds here. So, Jake, tell me about who should reach out to you. Who do you work with? I guess you kind of answered that already. But really appreciate you joining me.
Yeah, thanks, Christoph. This has been awesome. Blast Media, we are a B2B SaaS PR agency, not just focused on media relations. We have an expertise in getting compelling coverage, whether it be thought leadership or announcements for our clients. We have some clients that fall outside of software, but if you have a perspective that you think is worth sharing, would love to chat. That can be blastmedia.com or jake@blastmedia.com. You can reach me directly. Would also love to chat on LinkedIn. Doesn't have to be about content. I'll talk about art, games, music. Would love to meet up.
Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review the Business Storytelling Show on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. See you then.